The 10K Collective, our sister podcast, is the world's newest e-commerce podcast, now live on Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It's for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers. It's highly actionable, but it's focused on how to scale your business for sale or long-term profit, not short-term hacks. We have deep talks with real e-commerce sellers and experts in industries like sourcing, team building, and managing cash. Search your podcast app for 10K Collective or go to 10kcollective.com for show notes or to listen online. That's 10K for kilo, collective.com, 10kcollective.com.
I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for British Amazon sellers. Although, in fact, if you're American or from India, Canada, Germany, they're our main sort of listeners. Stick around. I think this is relevant for everybody. Today's episode is inspired by a conversation I had with a new would-be client who's actually coming on board, a mentoring client. And the reason he got in touch with me really was about motivation, time management. And actually, although mindset is one of those areas where, in a sense, I prefer to leave it alone because I'm a bit suspicious of things that aren't concrete and measurable. But actually, the truth is, I can't avoid mindset being a key part of success and failure in business. If I look at what actually I've done, what I've achieved, and the things I've left on the table, the money I could have made that I missed out on, all the other failures or non-successes, shall we say, and also that's true for my clients as well, then I can't avoid mindset being at the center of it. So today I'm going to talk about five mindset blocks and five solutions for those who are just starting out with a private label business. When you're just starting out and you have no actual turnover, it's a really difficult phase. It's sort of in the wilderness, as I call it, that you can get very, very lost very easily because it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel justifiable. You feel time. There's disappointments, but you don't have the upside of the revenue yet. And it's very, very easy to quit. Most people quit somewhere along the lines of trying to find the right or the perfect product as opposed to a merely quite good one. Some people quit when they're trying to source products, and most people quit if they get a product that they go the other way. They oversell themselves into something that they shouldn't probably have bought, and they buy several thousand dollars worth of something. It doesn't work out. They lose a bit of money, or they don't make many sales, and they quit. Now, actually, I think all of that is a mindset issue rather than anything else, because the truth is that it's going to be real business and it takes effort, and you're going to have some bumps along the road, whether you're investing in stocks and shares, or you're investing in running property investments or developing property, or you're developing a brick and mortar business or an online business, which is information marketing, like a podcast, for example, which obviously I know all about, or an Amazon business, which I also know from my own experience and that of many other people now. Guess what? All of them are going to have their tough times as well as their upsides. And you've got to get through the tough times to get through to the wins. If you're not still in the game, you can't get the wins. You've got to be in it to win it, as they say. So that sounds really obvious. And a lot of people say that and they nod their head when you say it, but they don't really, really deal with it properly. So I've got five blocks and five mindset solutions here that I think could help you if you're in that situation. First block, I think, is lack of vision or lack of leadership. So what the hell is leadership? Well, it means just basically deciding on a direction you're going to go. And just as importantly, why you want to go there. So a lot of people, I think, have poor reasons for doing things. They seem externally good reasons, but there's somebody else's vision. Seems a good idea, fear of missing out, FOMO, everyone else is doing it, greed, everyone else is getting rich except for me, dreams of cars, houses, etc. That's fine. Nothing wrong with having a nice house or a nice car. I aspire to both and working towards that. We're hopefully going to get ourselves a new property this year. And it's all very exciting. But guess what? That's not going to be enough. If the end goal is the only thing motivating you, I don't think that's enough. I mean, first of all, is that personalized to you? The second thing is, are you really going to enjoy the process as well? So I think if vision has to include the process more than just the end goals as well. So you've got to enjoy the process of creating a business. It's got to be creative reasons rather than just end goal type reasons. So that's another way of putting it, is if you're just interested in the end goal and you don't care about the process, you're not interested, you're not going to survive to get to the end goal. I can pretty much guarantee that with, you know, 99% accuracy. The other problem that people have with leadership, if you like, is reactive reasons away from motivation. And this is so big in the marketing of pretty much every business internet opportunity or whatever you want to call it. And I try and stay away from that kind of marketing now because it just produces the wrong results for everybody. I get clients who aren't realistic and don't have any staying power, and the clients don't win. So Sack Your Boss. Well, yeah, that's great. A friend of mine even produced a book called Sack Your Boss recently. And yes, on the one hand, it's very exciting to become independent. But on the other hand, your boss provides a valuable function. A lot of us, myself included, find it very hard to work in the absence of a boss. And I'm seriously considering hiring a part-time project manager at the moment, not just to manage a team, although I do want that, but to help manage me, because I need managing, right? If you've got a boss, they take care of that. So there is a great deal of value in a boss, and sooner or later you or your business needs one, right? Being the boss is also tricky, because guess what, if you are not at the top of your tree at work and you have a boss, then guess where all the I don't want to be crude, but I remember talking to a head teacher of a school once, and he said, yeah, I used to wonder where all the brown runny stuff used to go. Forgive me, guys, is what he actually said, when I was a teacher and now become the head teacher, now I know why it goes to. In other words, you got to deal with the problems nobody else can solve. So it's not all what it's cracked up to be, not, you know, getting rid of the boss or being the boss. The other thing is getting rid of structure feels desirable. You don't have to work. You can work in your underpants as everyone goes on about internet marketing. Well, guess what? That's actually difficult. Having a structure where you have to be at a particular place by a particular time, so 9 to 5 routine or whatever it is, if you work on a building site, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., whatever the routine is very, very helpful. And trying to replace that is actually a difficult challenge. So those away from motivations, I don't think are going to sustain you, apart from anything else, away from as opposed to towards motivation. So going away from a problem rather than towards a goal has the issue that as soon as you remove yourself from the problem, your motivation is diminished. So if you get rid of your boss and they're a very horrible person you don't want to work with, great, you get rid of your boss, then what? You're going to be away from the person that was motivating you to be your own boss. Now what's going to keep you moving? So I think the solutions are pretty straightforward in some ways and very subtle in other ways. So personal leadership is never easy. I think it requires a lot of time and meditation and realism. The first thing is there's a lot of left brain or very analytical answers to this. And I think they're very business-like, but they don't go far enough. So the left brain solutions are very simple things to define as a business coach. Are you looking to replace your day job? Okay, if so, how much do you really need? Do you need £2,000 a month in personal income? Is it 5? Is it 10? What's that figure? And in that case, and to be very clear, that's personal income, not the profit, let alone the revenue of your business, which is something else we'll come to, right? And how soon are you aiming to do that? 6 months, a year, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years? A lot of people get sold the idea that you can replace a day job within a year. I think that's mostly BS. It can be done, but that requires a degree of luck and a vast amount of aggression, which most people don't have. Nothing wrong with that if you do, but you will probably have to take big risks as well. And you're probably more risk averse than you think. Second thing then is, are you wanting to create a sellable asset? If so, how much do you want that to sell for and in what time frame? Most people don't come in with that mentality. Some people do. Tends to be the more advanced people who actually build a business that think in terms of creating sellable assets. But still, you got to think that through. So that's the left brain stuff. That's all very well. And it's easy to come up with a smart answer for that. But the right brain stuff is really, you know, where your heart is, where your vision is, what really, you know, what you really feel actually matters. First of all, dreams of cars, houses, great. But it takes time to get the results of a big house or a nice car or holidays, whatever it is. And you need to enjoy the process. So the first question I would say is, do you really care about business? Is this something that interests you intellectually, emotionally? Do you like the game? Do you like a bit of competition? Is money really what you want? I mean, sometimes it's not really what people want. They want time with their families, in which case, okay, long term, that makes sense. Are you prepared to sacrifice some time with your family in the short and medium term? In other words, the next few months or couple of years? Is independence is going to have its price as well. If you want to be independent from your boss, we've already talked about the fact that your boss provides a valuable function and, you know, keeping things in order. You're going to have to deal with being your own boss, which is difficult. I certainly feel that I'm, you know, become unemployed, self-employed rather, and I started working for an idiot sometimes. I have great strengths, one of which is not probably being very disciplined. So that's why I have a business coach. More on that later. Uncertainty. You're not sure whether things are going to be one way or the other from 1 month to the next sometimes. I personally quite like uncertainty. It sounds like a funny thing to say, but I think you need to be able to deal with it, preferably embrace it. And if that's not you, be real about that. The lumpy income you can get. Some, you know, Christmas is famously massive in retail, and then feast and famine when you get to January as well. There's a very basic question that I think a lot of people overlook too quickly when they get excited by a business opportunity pitch online. And that is entrepreneurship really for you? A lot of the things that I've just talked about as independence, as the upside, or freedom, which is very clearly and commonly the big motivating factor, I think particularly for men, but also for some of the women that I work with. But being your own boss, having the uncertainty, having lumpy income, these are quite big costs. And some people don't really have the right mentality to deal with that. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I think one of the things that happens these days is that everyone worships entrepreneurship so much, they put it on such a pedestal that actually it's not the right thing for some people. And that's perfectly okay. So you don't need to feel bad about it, but just recognize it may not be the solution. If you need an extra couple of grand a month, maybe get a part-time job, maybe look for a promotion, maybe try to change which company you work for in your day job. These are perfectly acceptable. In fact, in many cases, very better alternatives. So just be realistic about it. If entrepreneurship is right for you, is the business model you're considering right for you? Is internet marketing right for you? If you've got a very physical, hands-on approach to things and you're averse to technology, some people really struggle with spreadsheets, for example. They can't navigate around a computer. It may be that it's not for you. Any internet-based business requires a certain fluency with and comfort with computers. If so, is e-commerce for you? Some people are better suited to the lower risk but more legwork of an information-based business. Some people love the leveraged fact that e-commerce, particularly working with Amazon, will allow you to really leverage your time in an amazing way. But there are costs to that. Amazon is a bucking bronco sometimes, and some people can cope with that and some can't. So it's very, very important to be realistic about who you are and what you're not as well. And it's okay to run an e-commerce business or not run an e-commerce business. Just because it's the latest thing and some people are making money with it doesn't mean it's right for you. Block number two is, I would call it delusion, or in other words, believing what is not true. Okay. So have you ever been sold into a fantasy, no risk or low risk, it's quick, it's easy? If people are saying things like that about Amazon as a business model, private labeling on Amazon, just walk the other way is my advice, because I don't think it's quick, low risk, or easy. You can, I was saying to my client earlier, new client, when I was interviewing him for the mentoring position, because I don't just take on anybody if I don't think I can help somebody or if they're not well placed to make a success. I don't want to take their money in return for just selling them a delusion. I'm not into that. But I would say there is a payoff between speed, time, and you put into things, the speed you get going, the money, and the risk you take. If you're willing to take very high risks and you put a lot of time into things, you can go very fast. If you, however, want to take moderate, sensible, judged risks and you're only working at something, say, 15 hours a week, which is going to be the case with this latest client I'm working with, guess what? It's going to take you longer to get your first product to market. And there is a danger that you get stuck in that wilderness and you never move forward. So momentum is really important, but you don't always have to take a high risk in order to get momentum. Sometimes you just need to get more accountability. More about that later. The other thing is just a more of a left brain thing. So I suppose right brain and left brain I'm thinking about because I've been rereading Stephen Covey's amazing 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I'll be doing some more. We did 3 podcasts about that a while ago and we're going to be creating some more of those soon. But one of the things he talks about is a right and left brain. And I think it's important to think about that both ways, or to put it in simple terms, the sort of emotional and intuitive response to things is important, as well as the intellectual, numbers-led, logic-led stuff. But the left brain stuff, or the logic-led stuff, is very, very important as well. Are you looking at the financial numbers correctly? People can sometimes get very excited about a market size. Look, there's somebody making $500,000 a month selling, I don't know, some plastic widget on Amazon in the USA. Maybe it's kind of candle holders or something. It doesn't really matter how big the market size is. What matters is what percentage of the market you or your business can own or indeed dominate. So that's one of the things that people get very wrong with, market size. But then their financial numbers can be off as well. So the marketing numbers, that's one thing, but the financial numbers can be an even bigger problem. Revenue, for example, is not profit. It sounds obvious. Everyone intellectually knows this, I would have thought, but it's amazing to me after 3 years of interviewing people to come on board for mentoring, how many people get confused about this. If you've got a day job that makes you say, what's the medium income in Britain now? It's probably about £35,000 a year. Let's say 36, right? Because that gives us £3,000 a month income, right? Translate into dollars if it makes it easier for you in your currency. So let's say £3,000 a month in income. Okay, well, you know, that's pre-tax, but you're going to take a bit of expenses and a bit of tax off, but you'll get to keep most of that as personal income, right? That is absolutely not the case with a business where most of your capital is tied up in physical products. So if you have a physical products business that is doing £3,000 a month revenue, if you've got a gross profit margin of, say, 30%, which is quite typical, and you've got some overheads at some kind of reasonable scale, but probably before you've hired a lot of staff, you can maybe make 20% profit. So meaning that all of your costs taken away from all of your income equals about 20% of the £3,000, or in that case, it would be about £600 a month. Now, most of us can't live on that. And certainly, if you're trying to replace a £3,000 a month personal income, albeit pre-tax, let's say, oh, I don't know what you're going to make post-tax in the UK, it varies in different jurisdictions, let's say it's 2,400, 2,500, whatever, then that's the number you've got to replace. So the revenue is not the same as your income, nor is profit. And this is the big difference between business owner thinking and being a freelancer or an entrepreneur. If you're an entrepreneur, you are trying to build a business that is runs without you, which is where the passive income idea comes in, or leveraged income. Passive is a bit of a poor word to use, but it's somewhat passive. But guess what? There's a price for that. If you sell your time and you have some expenses, the profit is yours to keep because you are your business. Whereas once you've got a business that depends on selling physical products, the upside is, sure, you don't have to be physically present to sell them. And that's absolutely true. And it is a fantastic, the upside. But the downside of that is you've got to make sure you don't kill your business by taking all the money out for yourself as personal income. So if you make a revenue of £10,000 per month, for example, your Amazon business makes that revenue rather, if it's running at a 20% profit margin, your business will make £2,000 profit. But if you take all of that money out, you're going to kill the business. So you won't allow it to grow and you'll probably just kill it completely. So maybe you take half, even that is a lot. So it's just £1,000 a month. So if you're aiming, for example, to replace the £36,000 a year income or £3,000 a month, that obviously doesn't work out. So you can figure out quite quickly that if you're going to say, need £3,000 in personal income and you don't want to kill your business is probably going to need to make £6,000 to £10,000 a month in profit. It's exactly the same in dollars, no difference. In which case, you're probably looking at turning over £30,000 to £50,000 a year before you can quit the day job. And that's about the level, actually, in reality, between £50,000 and £100,000, that seems to be the freedom figure for most people in the 10K collective. It's actually quite a bit bigger than you think. That sounds quite alarming, but the good news is that you can get bigger revenue than you might imagine possible on Amazon. The trick on Amazon is if you get the right market, not so much getting revenue and sales, because Amazon's an incredible machine for that. If you get it right, it's getting the profit. And that comes when you source from China. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes behind achieving that. But it's very, very good to be clear about what you're aiming at. And it doesn't take long to calculate. That's pretty easy, right? But you just need to make sure you've looked at that. Block two's delusions. The solution is honest information and realistic goals. So we talked about realistic goals just about now with financial numbers. The right brain stuff, or, you know, believing the sort of, if you like, the beliefs of what is possible and what isn't, you know, this sort of general big picture stuff is solved by the following. I think you need to follow the right people, follow case studies of actual successes, and follow more than one case study. So the classic thing is somebody makes, you know, £100,000 or dollars a month in revenue. They become a kind of guru. They teach everyone else how they did it. Great. Well, that's fine. But if they did it several years ago, does it still work now? And the answer is, it's hard to know if they're just basing on one story. For sure, it's good to follow successful people, but I would prefer to see a situation where they're generalizing principles and formulas based on multiple different case studies. And that is what I try and do with the 10K Collective, the Million Pound Mastermind. I help those people to grow their businesses, and they help each other, really, let's be honest. I'm the convener, the facilitator, but we help each other to grow each other's businesses. But what I can bring from that is come back to the people at this stage that this episode is geared to, the beginners, and bring back the right principles, the right habits of mind and of action, and the right business models that are actually working now for serious sellers rather than worked once for me several years ago. Block three, confusion, or not knowing what to do. There's basically one problem here, which I would say is too many opinions, not enough clarity, right? Specifically as well, too many podcasts, including this one, if you listen to every single episode, too many Facebook groups, too many YouTube videos. I mean, I get people come to me occasionally and say, I really like your podcast. I started at episode 1 and I'm listening to all of them. And I just, can't quite believe when people say that. I mean, it's kind of flattering, but it's also scary. I'm like, that's over 300 episodes, some of which will have, you know, timeless value and evergreen content. And I try and produce more of that these days. Like this episode, I believe, is going to be evergreen because these principles aren't ever going to change. But a lot of the tactical type stuff will no longer apply. I started this podcast in September 2015. A lot of the landscape has shifted then, like around reviews, particularly launch strategy, how competitive Amazon is now, how good your listing needs to be just to kind of be at the basic entry level. So be aware of that. Don't absorb too much from podcasts. Absorb what's useful, but be a bit selective. So I think the solution is really simple: clarity and structure. I think courses can really, really help. Just be careful who you choose. Selective communities as well. So instead of joining a free Facebook group, join one that is linked with the course. The other thing is get the right expertise for where you're at now. And one caveat is see solution number two, make sure you're following the right people and in the right communities. The majority of Amazon-based podcasts can be a bit unrealistic in their expectations they set. I think a few of them are more realistic. I try to be one of those as well. There are a few out there. You're going to have to decide for yourself. But just make sure two things. Number one, you choose the right courses if you're going to follow that. Choose the right communities to join. And make sure it's relevant to where you're at now. If it's something that requires a lot of money and you have a little bit of capital, it's not going to be relevant to you. If it's something that is very advanced and, you know, looking at courses for advanced Facebook marketing for Amazon sellers and you haven't sold a penny or a dime yet, it's premature to be worrying about that. And it amazes me that people will go on sourcing trips to China that cost several thousand dollars or something. And they're selling nothing yet, and which kind of blows my mind. I mean, the first thing is get something selling, learn your craft, and then go to China if you want to go, you know, or India or wherever else it may be. So I've had members of the 10K Collective or the Million Pound Mastermind who've shared that with me, that they've been on trips that cost them several thousand, were very valuable for them, but the half the people there weren't selling anything yet. That's just kind of crazy. Another person in the 10K Collective went to a course that cost them $10,000 over in Las Vegas, where else? And he said, yeah, maybe it was valuable, maybe not. But again, it was a ranking based. It was about how to rank and launch products. And half the people there didn't have any revenue, didn't have any products to sell. Again, that's a crazy thing to do. Don't take courses or information on board that is not relevant to your situation. I can't stress that enough. It's just wasted money. Block number four is motivation. Can't get started or can't stay started. This is really huge. And this is what brings quite a few people to my door as a coach and mentor. Isolation is a dream killer, as Barbara Sher says. And it really, really is true. It's also linked, I think, to this first block, which a lot of people don't see because it's so big. It's kind of like the ground you walk on that you don't realize that your personal inner vision, if you like, or leadership is, or lack of it, is the problem. But I think it's very, very linked to that. If you're following somebody else's fear of missing out, or greed, or dreams of houses, whatever, but you're actually not the right kind of person to be running a business, that may well be why you're not motivated. But sometimes it's simply isolation, and in which case the solution is connect and get accountable. A community can be great online or offline. It's even better if you can meet in person. I used to run a community for beginners, people who are just at the stage that we're talking about now, where you're pre-revenue, if you like. I've shut that down because basically I couldn't get people to be committed enough to turn up month after month. Now, if I run that again, I may run an online version of that. And if that's something that interests you, email me and explain your thinking. And if enough people do that, then I'll run it. Michael@amazingfba.com. F for Freddie, B for Bertie, A for Alpha.com. Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L at amazingfba.com. So do some of your thoughts. If enough people want to do it, great. But it's not easy to get a good quality community of beginners because most of them stay beginner, i.e. they don't do anything. Facebook communities can be useful. Try and be selective where you go. Conferences are very good for meeting people. Masterminds are even better. But as I said, it's a bit hard to get a mastermind that is true mastermind if everyone's a beginner. So as a beginner, I think you can't help coming back to the idea of a mentor, and that's why people approach me. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't work with me or anybody else. It's not a cheap solution, but I think it's like anything else. I'm about to fill in for my wife in a few minutes to go and teach a piano lesson to a little boy who's learning piano. Is it impossible to learn piano without a piano teacher? Of course not. There are tons of YouTube videos. There's tons of internet resources, like just like Amazon selling or anything else. But the truth is, you need that accountability, that personalization, that motivation. to keep going. So that's why most people who play the piano well that I know started with a teacher and had one-to-one lessons. And there's nothing wrong with just admitting that it's an investment now and you get the payoff later, but it generally is a hell of a lot more realistic than thinking you're going to learn it on your own. Block number five is related to this. And again, this is one of these blocks which people think the problem is time management, which is block number five. It's actually often a question of motivation combined with a lack of leadership. But nevertheless, lack of time is lack of priorities, says Tim Ferriss. Okay, but nevertheless, it is linked. And it's the first thing that people show up with and say, oh, I've got a problem with time management. You dig a bit deeper. Often that's not the case. It's about motivation and stuff as well. So again, the solution is get accountable, just like for lack of motivation, but also get real about time. I think a lot of people don't get granular enough about the issues in time management. And for that reason, they don't look at their week in detail. They say, oh yeah, I can spend 20 hours a week. And then when you dig deep, just like I did today with a new client I'm going to work with. Okay, Mondays. Yeah, great. Can do 2 hours in the evening. What about Tuesdays? Well, oh no, actually Tuesday we have a meeting at work that goes late. So I get home and I'm just going to eat and go to bed. Okay, so Tuesdays are out. Wednesdays, yeah. Thursday, oh yeah, I'm normally away from home that day so I can actually do more. Fridays, yeah, normally 2 days. Okay, Saturday, I can do anything I like. Okay, really? So your daughter or son doesn't have any sports events. Oh yeah, well, my son goes to football or my daughter goes to ballet dancing or whatever. You know, what about Sundays? Do you go to church? Well, yeah, we generally do. We don't have to. But, you know, once you take account of personal life, social life, you've got kids, taking them to various things, you know, cleaning the house, cooking, having time with your spouse, very important. Then you've got to be real about the fact that there's probably less time available than you think, which is not a problem as long as you're very real about that and very consistent in how you use it. It's amazing how much progress you can make in a relatively modest amount of time if you're really consistent and you do the right things. So consistency and you know, focusing on doing the right things is just as important as anything else. The easiest way to get this to happen is to get a coach, get accountable. Again, it's like having a piano teacher or a personal trainer or anything else. I mean, you can do stuff without, you're more likely to make good progress with. So I don't think this is really a job for a mastermind. A mastermind can help you stay accountable in the big picture. But if you're struggling with this, particularly again, as a new person, having tried to run masterminds for pretty much 2 years for newbies, it's very difficult to make that work. It's much better to meet together than it is to not meet. So I think I provided a great service for people. But in the end, it was just a bit too much like pushing a boulder uphill because the turnover is so quick with newbies. So I think you're better off with a mentor than with a mastermind at the early stages and then transition into masterminds when you've actually got some traction and the people around you and you have value to share. So co-coaching is another idea where you keep each other accountable. Again, in theory, this is lovely. I've tried this with friends and business partners before now, and not really business partners, but friends or people in the similar, you know, situation to me, i.e. sort of freelancers trying to create their own business. But it generally fizzles out in my experience because the person has a strong enough motivation. And the truth is, coming back to the idea of you know, what's pushing you to do this in the first place, firing your boss is one thing, but you've got to replace him or her. Being a boss is a valuable job, it turns out, telling people what to do, managing people, keeping them accountable to goals, making sure they keep moving, get stuff gets done, projects move forwards. Guess what? That's really critical. And it turns out it's actually hard work because you've got to push reluctant people forward. You've got to keep an eye on reality and goals and match the two up. You've got to measure things. There's a lot to do. And therefore, most people want to get paid for that. And that's why if you pay a coach for it, you're outsourcing, if you like, the management piece. And as I say, not only do I have a business coach myself, who I pay good money for, to work with, I worked for quite a long time on a weekly basis. We now meet twice a month just because it's a bit more affordable and sustainable. And again, I offer the same things to my clients. But the truth is a weekly meeting is very, very good and really helpful, particularly if you're getting stuck. And the other thing is that I'm considering hiring a project manager to manage me as well as other people. So I recognize the reality of this. So don't be ashamed or afraid or think it's somehow weakness or you should be able to do this on your own. Most big achievements in life and certainly in business are not the solo lone entrepreneur, like the lone ranger riding out on his horse like a cowboy. The truth is it's a team win and you need to get yourself a team from the beginning, I think. So you need to get yourself and a coach and your suppliers and then you're actually going to be in business. Thanks for listening. Hopefully this is helpful and thank you very much for your attention. Speak to you in the next show.
Hey there, this is Michael saying thank you for listening to the amazing FBA episode you just listened to. Just want to mention that I mentioned at the top of the show our sister podcast, the 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, which is for 6, 7 and 8 figure sellers on Amazon. Specifically, that's who we're geared to. I'm sure that people doing bigger numbers will still have a lot of things to learn from it. And people doing smaller numbers, sure, but it's not going to be immediately actionable for you. So if that is you, keep listening to the Amazing FBA podcast. But if you're 6, 7 or 8 figures on Amazon or e-commerce, I really think you should check it out. So I just want to give you a flavor of what's coming up, or rather just a bit of a list. Not deeply exciting as podcasts go, but I just wanted to, if you're just checking it out, know whether it's for you and what sort of topics we cover. Here's what's coming up. So first of all, an interview with our own Ashley Pierce from the 10K Collective Mastermind, who is talking about his last year in e-commerce, where he went from $750,000 in 2018 in turnover to a run rate this year of $1.25 million. So that's from scratch in 3 years. Super smart man, and he had a lot of the right skills going in. Let's be clear about that. But he didn't have tons of capital, just a conventional amount. So I still think that's an incredible result. And also, he's a really nice guy and a very, very clear-minded and feet-on-the-ground business thinker. So there's so much value. If nothing else, check that out. Really cannot urge you enough. I mean, these guys that have been in the Mastermind for nearly 2 years now have just honed their game to the nth degree. I've never heard quality discussion like I hear in there. And I don't say that because it's about me. It's not about me. I'm just privileged to work with some super smart and great people. So do check it out. Other things coming up then, lots and lots of industry expert interviews. Here's a flavour. And honestly, this is about half the list of people who've agreed to come on for an interview. So several of these are already recorded. So with Ryan Shaffet from Xcube Manufacturing, we are going to be talking about custom manufacturing in China. He's been out there about 18 years. And custom manufacturing, I can't emphasise enough how much that is the future. If you're still just purely private labelling stuff, it's going to get harder and harder to make a profit with that business model. I mean, I think it's got a year or two left in it, but sooner or later you need to get onto custom manufacturing. So this is a hyper critical skill set that you should be learning, I believe, to future proof your business. Second is funding, which is another massive topic, how to fund growth, because any scaling business, as Vern Harnish says, growth sucks cash. This is the law of gravity of scaling. Therefore, we've got to look into raising capital, and one way is debt. And Bruce Mack is going to talk to us about that. Aaron O'Sullivan is coming on from Systems Culture Impact to talk about outsourcing and company culture. And again, if you're scaling up a business, you're going to have a very painful time if you keep trying to do it yourself, even if you've hit, say, $1 million a year equivalent, which I know some people have without a VA. Guess what? You're not going to get to 2 million without a VA or basically a proper team on board. So that's something that is definitely a big barrier to entry. And also, to put it on its head, something that will add to your comfort and enjoyment of your business if you go with it. So that's a few things that we got in depth, just in a bit more superficial detail. Chris Shipfling of Providium with Jason Somerville is going to be talking about selling your FBA business, and they have a private equity take on that from the Wall Street side. So really fascinating angle on that. FBA reimbursements with Ben Chambers. Amazon often owes about $50,000 to $100,000 for any serious seller at some points in the year. How do you get your hands on that? It's just a fantastic source of cash, apart from anything else. So Amazon's got your cash. If you can get it out of the system, guess what? That's fantastically healthy for your business. Ash Munger's talking about quality control from China. He's got an incredibly detailed system for doing that. He's been out in China running IMEX sourcing for 9 years now, so seriously knows his business backwards and sideways and in detail. Connor Gillivan's going to talk about the quick outsourcing system that FreeUp represents and how to outsource quickly and easily. Paulina Masson came on this morning. We talked about pricing, which is a very underrated and very important thing for driving profits. Will Churnland's coming back on, and we're going to talk about evaluating the competition from a real sort of standpoint of somebody who's not just looking at the numbers, although Will is super smart with numbers, but from the point of view of the overall competitive landscape. Really, as ever, Will's a brilliant Amazon thinker, always worth hearing. Kevin King's coming back on. Not even sure what we're going to be talking about yet with Kevin, but you know what? He's always a super smart guy when it comes to the marketing side, so I'm sure we have lots to learn from him. What else we got coming up? Amazon account suspension with Joshua Price, launching to overseas markets with John Cant, PPC advertising and profit margins with Mike Zagare of PPC Entourage. What else? Chris Rawlings is coming back from Judo Launch. Presumably we'll be talking about launch. Alex Oxford is coming on to talk about sales tax. He is super smart at explaining this stuff in very simple terms, but yet dealing with all the details as well. Alex is absolutely a critical person to listen to if you sell in the USA. Kostas Anastasiadis is coming back to talk about short-term funding. Brad Moss is coming back, who used to run Seller Central, so he's a super sharp guy as well. China Sourcing with Manuel Bekvar. Law for Amazon Sellers with Paul Ruffelson. Augustus Kligas is coming back on to talk about various different topics. John Cavendish talk about translations. Paul Harvey to talk about chatbots. Brian Johnson talk about PPC. Greg Mercer to talk about product research. Nadine Eich to talk about Germany and customer service in Germany. And probably going to get my old accountant Penny Lowe back to talk about bookkeeping basics. Whew. We have, as you can tell, an incredible amount of really practical, useful content coming up, a lot of which is already recorded and is definitely coming out over the next few weeks. So get yourself over there, folks. It's just a place you need to be. This is not just a bunch of let's fill the airways with the latest kind of hack that's going to die in 2 months. I'm taking care to really focus on content that is as evergreen as possible. Why? Because then you listen once and implement over multiple years or at least months, and then you get the payoff over time, so you get better return on your listening time, if you like. And I think that's a really important metric. Return on listening for me is something I aim to give you in spades. So get yourself over there. 10K Collective is the thing you need to look for. 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, to give it the full title. You can look on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts apps, or Stitcher. We should be on Spotify any minute now, and we're just waiting to get ourselves on Google Play and Google Podcasts. So it will be more and more of available. If you can't find it on your listening device, your preferred device, then just go to the website and you can listen directly there. 10kcollective.com. That's 10k, 10k for kilo. Collective is collective.com. That's 10kcollective.com. Thanks so much for listening to such a very, very lengthy post-roll pitch, if you like. I'm not actually selling anything, so it's not a pitch in any strict sense. It's free and it always will be. Of course, we will mention paid services from time to time, but I believe in giving like 95%, 99% value and a little pitch at the end. So it's not going to be a pitch fest. We are just aiming to build massive goodwill and getting ourselves out there and known. And of course, we hope to attract some wonderful people to our masterminds, and if people can use the services that some of our experts provide, so much the better. But really, that's our main thrust, is to get ourselves out there and build goodwill. So you know more than you're ever going to need to know in life about this podcast. Get yourself over there and listen. Stop listening to Amazing FBA. What are you still doing here? I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. I suggest you go and do the same, and I'll speak to you in the next show.